Right, well, just going back over this past week, you know, obviously there's quite a few events from bits and pieces, but just taking the economy first in the US, and we had some data reads, not very many, mostly relating to housing, and if anything, you know, they were going the wrong way for the Fed, they were looking a little bit firmer. So we had things like May home building permits, which were expected to be up very slightly, about 0.1%. They rose by 5.2%, and housing starts, which were expected to fall by 0.8%, rose by 21.7%. And later in the week, we had some existing home sales data for May. Wasn't quite as spectacular as the home building permits and starts, but it was firmer than expected. The market was looking for that to be down about 0.1%. It was up 0.2%. But it wasn't really the data which was influencing things last week. You know, we had the testimony to Congress by Jerome Powell. And you know, what he indicated there was, yes, they did take a pause, going back obviously to that last meeting, but don't count on it going forward, that they still feel they have a long way to go, in his words, to get on top of sticky inflation. And of course, that helped to reset things a little in market thinking, that you know, you're still not really getting to the peak in terms of interest rates, and you've got central banks who, in concert around the world, are still tightening, and they're doing it at a time when not the US yet, but other economies already in recession, and so into weaker economic conditions. So the potential for economies to slide into recession is lifting all the time. We're seeing the odds on that happening starting to lift. It doesn't mean that you know, you can get a good rally going through bonds yet. You know, for the time being, you know, they're still fluctuating and still have to reflect that you've got these very, very high cash rates, which may go higher for some central banks. So the short end still has to hold up there, but the long end can respond at times. And then, of course, at the weekend, you get quite a deal of uncertainty about what's happening in Russia now. That typically tends to mean that investors go towards safer assets. So typically you tend to find that bonds get a little bit of a bid running through that, but it's not likely to overwhelm at the short end of the curve the impact of central banks who are still tightening policy. This week in the US, is there anything which is going to change things much? Well, probably the key piece of data coming out this week, you know, always we're looking at inflation. And at the very end of this week, we'll get the monthly personal income, personal spending data. And with that, we'll get the core personal consumption expenditure deflator, both the headline and the underlying on that. And that's been very, very sticky over the last few months. This is by far and away the Fed's preferred inflation reading. And last month, the core personal consumption expenditure deflator was stuck at around about 4.7% year on year. A similar result is expected for May when that comes out on Friday. So expecting around 0.4% month on month, 4.7% year on year. Even the month on month, you're annualizing around the high fours. So that's the problem the Fed faces at the moment, that inflation is just very, very sticky. And one of the reasons, of course, it stays sticky is you've got wages which are north of 4% in the US. So unless they come back, you get a softer labor market, you haven't got much chance of getting that down. So I think that'll be the key data reading of the week. We get a lot of other reads as well going through. We get durable goods orders coming out on Tuesday. If anything, they had a reasonably good April when they rose by 1.1%, expected to fall by 1.3% for the most recent month. We'll get June consumer confidence coming out on Tuesday as well. We'll also get the Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey later in the week. Now, these could be quite interesting. You know, these are the final reads on these. But it looks as if consumer confidence will lift to about 104 from 102.3. We've had this little bit of a rise running through consumer sentiment, consumer confidence over the last month or two. Now, why would you think that would be happening, given that we're looking down the gun barrel of recession being driven by high interest rates? Well, something very simple has happened in the US, and that is they've got real wage growth now, something we haven't got yet, but wages are rising around the pace of inflation, and incomes are rising in real terms. So typically, that tends to actually help support demand, and that's where we're getting this this bounce that we're seeing probably running through sentiment, together with, of course, the strength running through the labour market. So you've still got this residual strength there in the US, which still means we can't really put a cap on where the Fed may need to take interest rates eventually to cap inflation. We get some other data too. We get some new home sales data coming out month of May. That was actually up 4.1% going back to April. Expected to come down by 3.8%. But go back to last week. Most of the housing indicators we got were actually on the better side of expectations. So we could get another result on that side with this one. We get a revision to Q1 GDP. Unlike Europe, which is in recession, the US isn't yet. And if anything, there might be a slight upward revision to Q1 GDP, and the annualized growth rate on that expected to lift to 1.4% from 1.3%. Another figure which people will be watching is the initial jobless claims. This is really the only indicator we've got that labour market conditions at the very leading edge may be starting to soften. The last few weeks, we've had a bounce up above 260,000 for the weekly initial jobless claims. It was 264,000 last month, expect to be around the 260,000 again this week. If we hold up at those sorts of levels, maybe we start to see a little bit of softness starting to creep into things like non-farm payrolls. But of course, the most recent non-farm payrolls was ridiculously strong, over 330,000 increase. So we're just waiting to see if there's a little bit more evidence that maybe there's the beginnings of a potential softening running through the labour market there. Just moving elsewhere, in the case of China, their economic recovery has been starting to falter. We saw it with all the figures that came out for the month of May going back a few weeks ago. So as a result of that, the Chinese are trying to rekindle things a little. They've made various announcements relating to some fiscal spending. It's not a lot. And last week, People's Bank of China actually eased their interest rate, their official interest rate, by 10 basis points. So it's come down to 3.55% from 3.65%. And they are in a position to ease monetary conditions a bit because China's a bit of a unique economy at the moment in that because they had their slowdown going back last year under all those various restrictions, they've got a lot of excess capacity. That's something which doesn't exist in other economies which are running at full capacity. As a result of that, inflation has been moderating in China and is actually very low by international standards. So the Chinese do have a bit of flexibility every now and then just to tweak some of their spending and monetary policy. But it still doesn't look like being a particularly strong economic recovery in China. It'd be doubtful whether they can get to 4.5% GDP growth year on year this year, which would be quite low in a recovery phase for China's economy. They do have some embedded problems too, which bear watching, not least of which is very high youth unemployment in China, which has run about 20%. That's rarity in China. Another one of those problems which the Chinese authorities are facing to try and give the sort of economic recovery which is needed to keep the Chinese population sort of happy. You put up with restrictions in an economy if you think you're getting wealthier, and that's been the sort of the social contract that the Chinese government's had with their people for a very long time. And at the moment, they're just on the edge of not delivering that part of the contract. So just watching that as we go forward. This week in China, we get manufacturing, non-manufacturing PMIs, the official ones. The manufacturing PMI was 48.4 going back to May, probably around that level again, just sitting below 50, so it's in contractionary territory. But the non-manufacturing PMI at 54.5 last month, that was rather better. And this is the same everywhere around the world, that we've still got services which are holding up pretty well. This is also the case in China, still expecting a sort of mid-50s type result there, which is actually quite firm for Chinese services. Last week in Australia, we had the minutes of the RBA meeting, and it showed that it was a close call again. It was a close call going back the month before, but they still leaned on the side of lifting rates. And why did they do that? Because actually inflation's too high, and you've got so wage pressures starting to run through in a very tight labour market, which is suggesting it's going to take a long time to get inflation down. It's that long time getting inflation down which the Reserve Bank is now very wary of, because it does not want inflation expectations to get out of control. At the moment, they're probably not, but the longer it takes to get inflation down, the more that becomes a problem. So even though they said it was a close call in those minutes, they're still effectively on a bias to continue to lift rates as they move ahead. This week, we do get two very important indicators which may shift the decision one way or the other when we get to the beginning of July. The first one is the May CPI. This is the monthly CPI, comes out on Wednesday. Now, to take pressure off the RBA, this has to at least get down to market expectations. The month before, the year-on-year increase in the CPI was 6.8%. It needs to get down to 6.1, even 6 or less, to really make a difference to whether the RBA lifts rates again in July. I think it's going to be more like 6.1, 6.2, so it's probably not going to be quite enough. The other one that would be interesting would be May retail sales. That comes out on Thursday, and the anecdotes from various retailers are that May was a pretty poor month. It's interesting. The market consensus for May retail sales is plus 0.1% after being flat the month before. Plus 0.1% is not really weak enough, but I think there's a chance we might dive underneath that. The anecdote suggests that it should have a negative sign on the change in monthly retail sales. If it does, that may be a factor which could potentially sway the Reserve Bank. So watching those figures, and when I say sway them, if they pause this month, it doesn't mean they've gone away. It means that you pause before they hike again, and probably at some point in the future. You're just watching these readings as they come through. Moving to Europe, and in Europe, we got some softening running through most of the data that came out last week. It doesn't make much difference to people like the ECB. They did tighten going back to their policy meeting in June. They're still on a bias to tighten further, even though the European economy is in recession. And the figures that came out last week, we had things like June consumer confidence minus 16.1 from minus 17.4. It's a little bit of improvement, still very weak. The manufacturing PMI down to 43.6 from 44.8. Below 44, 45, that's really into recessionary territory. Of course, Europe is in recession according to its GDP reads for Q1 and Q4 last year, both minus 0.1% quarter on quarter. But if anything, it's intensifying in the goods sector. And the services sector PMI wasn't quite as strong as it's been over the last few months, 55.1 going back to May, came back to 52.4. That's still in expansionary territory, but it's not quite as strong as it's been. We also had the Bank of England in the UK, and it was an interesting meeting because they've upped the ante and lifted by 50 basis points, which takes the base rate in the UK to 5%. The market was looking more likely for 25 basis point increase, but listening to Andrew Bailey, the governor of the Bank of England, it's pretty clear that they are desperately worried about inflation in Britain. And why wouldn't they be? The most recent CPI was a disappointment. The annual inflation rate stayed in the high eights. The retail price index over there is actually over 11, and you're getting some very, very high pay claims running through the UK at the moment. He gave every indication in the commentary over the last week that they're probably going to 6% for the base rate over there. Middly Britain's a bit of an extreme case, but it's one of these indications that cash rates in places are going much higher than any of us would have ever dreamed, even going back a short while ago. But I say Britain is a bit of an extreme case. That 5% base rate now is the highest base rate in the UK in something like 15 years. So it is quite a high cash rate there. This week in Europe, we've got the benchmarks of why central banks are tightening policy, and that is we've got the CPI coming out in Europe, preliminary for the month of June, and we've got their unemployment rate coming out. As far as the and these are all out on Thursday, as far as the CPI is concerned, it may come back a bit to 5.7%. from 6.1%, that's for the headline, but the core CPI is a worry. It's actually going up, and we think it's going up to 5.5% from 5.3%. So not only is it stalling, but it's actually starting to go up a bit. The May unemployment rate, it was down at a quarter century low of 6.5%, going back the previous month, probably still holding down there. So even though they're in recession, it hasn't quite fed through to the labour market yet, and so we've still got a tight enough labour market to be driving these inflation-compensating pay claims. And so these are the pressure points which are building everywhere. One thing around the world is that we've got something very unusual in that we've got a tightening of monetary policy almost everywhere other than China at a time when growth is showing signs of slowing and in some cases in recession. It's a doubled up tightening too, in that you've got quantitative tightening running in many of these economies as well. It's very, very hard to see how a lot of these economies, including our own, don't tip into recession at some point now. At the moment, the markets that are not priced for that adequately, or of course the risk assets, particularly when we're looking at equity markets, but probably credit to a degree as well. The risk session is rising all the time as sticky inflation just keeps pressuring these central banks.